welcome day. We'll try not to make it too long, right? But to speak about just a couple of issues connected with, I want to start about to speak about Bedikas Chametz, which is the beginning of the Masechta. I don't usually get a chance to speak about that, and to highlight through that a little bit something which is obviously bigger than Bedikas Chametz, and that is the nature of Chametz on Pesach in a broader way. So let's just start off with a couple of ha'aros, since we don't want to make it too. One could go on with this, you know, for a very long time. It's really the whole, you know, first part of Psachim and so on and so forth. It's implicit in many other things. So let me just, you know, raise some of the issues, and some of it can be, you know, applied, you know, without all the details in the beginning. So the Masechta, Masechta Psachim, really begins with a discussion of Bedikas Chametz, as we know. Or Larbas, or Bodkin Es HaChametz, or Haner, right? Kol Makom Shein Machnisin Bo Chametz, Ein Tzorich Bedika, and so on. Then the Mishnah goes on, Uvene Amru, Beis Shuros B'Martev, Makom Shein Machnisin Bo Chametz, Makom Beis Hil Beis Shammai, etc. So it sounds like a very innocuous opening, and very straightforward. Bedikas Chametz seems to be a Din D'Rabbanan. It's easy to explain that, you know, we begin the Masechta with Bedikas Chametz because, you know, that's the first thing that we do on Pesach. You know, we've been learning the first parak of Shabbos. We know the first Tosis in Shabbos addresses this question about, you know, beginning of Masechta. And we also know that, you know, what's reflected in Tosis in the beginning of Shabbos and Tosis in the beginning of other Masechtas as well is precisely, you know, two, let's say, you know, broadly speaking, you know, two perspectives on why you would begin and the significance of beginning a Masechta, you know, with a particular topic. You know, one is that it's all very pragmatic and very, you know, can be pragmatic for various reasons. This is the area in which most people are nichshal. This has the most halachos. You know, this is somehow, you know, in terms of the kiyum mitzvos, in terms of the toeles, you know, harabim, on a pragmatic level, this is the best place to begin this, you know, specific Masechta. From that point of view, Bedikas Chametz is something, you know, which is the natural beginning of Masechet Pesachim. It has to come somewhere, so we might as well go according to sequence. There are even Dinei Bedikas Chametz Shloshim Yom Lefnei Achag. Indeed, some of the issues of Shloshim Yom Lefnei Achag, Shom V'Dorshim V'Oso Achag, are reflected in the questions of Bedikas Chametz. So from that point of view, it's not difficult to explain why the Masechta begins in this fashion, and going along with that, you'd say, "Oh, this isn't Din D'Rabbanan," which it is, and you know, if it has its kulas, that's certainly going to be understandable because it's only D'Rabbanan. If it has its chumras, you know, the perspective to take would be that, you know, it's based on the overcompensation, you know, principle. Maybe this is a Din D'Rabbanan, but it serves an important function, and that function, you know, justifies what occasionally, you know, seem to be chumras, you know, in this institution that seem to transcend, you know, the regular status of a Din D'Rabbanan. So that is one approach to Bedikas Chametz. And from that point of view, you know, we could definitely zero in on what the Bali Tosis talk about. Bali Tosis in the beginning of Psachim are not bothered by the question of the organization of the Masechta, you know, but they are bothered by the phenomenon of Bedikas Chametz. And basically what they ask is, again, it gets introduced by Rashi, who says that Bodkin is Haner, Bodkin is Shiloyavar Labayro Bayimatze, and the Bali Tosis zeroed in on that technically and specifically. Pirsha Kuntris, Shiloyavar Labayro Bayimatze, Vikash Shilari, Kivin Tzarech Bitol, Kedamber Begamara, Bodik Tzarech Shivatel, Umdaraisa Bebitol Bialma Sagi, Amay Tzucha Kachama Bedika Klal. Basically, the Gemara says later on that, you know, habodek tzarech sheivatel, you should do bitul anyway. We also know that bitul alone solves all the problems of bayra bayimatze, right, midoraisa, or seemingly does, right? There's some question about chametz yadua in the Rishonim, but Bali Tosis don't have that particular problem. Okay, so for them it solves all problems. So then basically they're asking a very basic question. In attacking Rashi, who connects us to bayra bayimatze, they're saying, and by the way, what is the purpose of Bedikas Chametz? So the first answer that Tosis gives, you know, is something which fits into the broader you know, first perspective, namely the perspective that says Bidikas Chametz is Din Drabanan, it has a very specific target. Its kulas are understandable, its chumras are overcompensation. But then that just begs the question, why are we more worried that you're going to eat the chametz, or why are we making more siyagim when it comes to chametz than anything else? Right, so here too, right, there are two ways to go, the same two ways. Right, let's continue with the same, you know, perspective, and that is that what seems to be the kulas of chametz, which is the fact that it is an iser zman, means something that comes in and out of iser, but kol hashana you're allowed to eat chametz. V'atam shechmiru kam tvein b'bishar iseri ana shelo tzricho levarim dishim dechametz mutar kol hashana v'lo nesa rak b'pesach v'lo b'dili minei. So psychologically, people are not b'dili minei kedama lekamon. That's the first answer of Tosis. I'm just using it as a proxy. One could use other Rishonim too. Basically, Bedikas Chametz has a particular target. The phenomenon itself is seemingly, you know, very challenging. And the answer is, it serves, right, to help the overcompensation for what otherwise, you know, would be a Nisar Chametz, which is Doraisan, which is a capital crime, you know, which might not be sufficiently adhered to. Okay. So, again, chronology and these other things answer that question. However, there is, and from that point of view, as I say, other issues that we find, you know, would be explained along those lines as well. I'll explain what some of those other phenomena are going forward. Okay, the other perspective, similar or, you know, parallel to what we find in other places, is at the beginning of a Masechta, or where you find seemingly that something is given importance beyond, you know, what you would have expected given its role or stature, etc., reflects the importance of the topic. Meaning, we begin a Masechta, you know, with the Din Drabanan, because that Din Drabanan isn't just a Din Drabanan, it's something that reflects on a Doraisa level as well, right, the importance, the transcendence, let's say, of this Chafetza. So getting back to the first question, not only why do you want to start the Masechta with Bedikas Chametz, but, you know, what about this phenomenon? Why do we have such a thing? So the second answer of Tosis is, Inami, Shaini Chametz Shechmira Botora, Lavar Bebayro Bayimatze, Okay, so now that second answer Tosis could have been understood in a narrow way, namely, what we're really saying is that the Isra of Chametz not being, you know, or perceived by people as more kal, and therefore you need overcompensation, you know, you better make sure that you get rid of it because people are lo bedili minei, but the opposite. Chametz is chamor, it's more chamor as reflected, interestingly enough, by, which we're going to talk about a little bit as well, by the Isra of Bal Yirah and Bal Yimatzeh, which itself is a fascinating and a very rare phenomenon. Like, where do we find in any other Isra of Torah that, you know, not only can you not eat it, not only can you not derive pleasure from it, but you can't have it present in your Rishus. Its very presence is noxious and contravenes, obviously, the theme of the day, or the themes of the day. Where do we find such a phenomenon? But in any case, we do here, and therefore chametz is more chamor. Part of being more chamor, right, requires that we search and destroy, that we do bedikas chametz. Okay, but one still could have said, okay, this is a different perspective on the nature of Yisr chametz, and it says something important about Bayra Bayimatze, but maybe the bedikas chametz is still just a siag for Bayra Bayimatze. Right? But then, if that were to be the case, then what we would have to conclude would be that if you had a Cheftza Shel Chametz which didn't have a din of Vayra Bayimatzeh, then there would also be no Bedikas Chametz. So Tosis is, you know, always a, Bali Tosis are always a step ahead of us, so they're on to this, you know, implication, which is why Tosis then continues and says, V'nir L'Rajba, meaning the Rashmi Shams, that Afilo lefitam ha'achron tzarech lomar dechmiru chachamim b'chol chametz afilo b'chametz nukshavai de'taroves afagav deleka b'al yiroah. right? At least, like a Bayroil appears Rabbeinu Tam for Eishel Over. So the debate between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam at the beginning of the, you know, Perek Elu Obrin, whether or not Taroves Chametz and Chametz Nuksha are you? It's up there. Everybody seems to be looking there. The Tosas, good. For Bayroil Bayimatze, Rashi says yes. Rabbeinu Tam is convinced that there's no Bayroil Bayimatze. So basically what the Rosh Mishans is saying is, so you would think if, you know, B'dikas Chametz is a siag that's connected to, you know, Bayra Bayimatze, or the Chomer of Chametz is reflected by Bayra Bayimatze, so, you know, if there's Bayra, then there's B'dika, and if there's no Bayra, there's no B'dika. That's a very logical conclusion. Kamash Milan says the Rosh Mishans, that is just not correct. What we really are trying to say here is that two broad things. Number one, Chefza Shel Chametz, right? All Chefza Shel Chametz are chamor, right? As reflected by Bayra Bayimatze's application to chametz, but all chefza shel chametz are chamor, even the ones that don't have the particular application of Bayra Bayimatze, and that bedikas chametz, which reflects this general chomer, is also not linked directly to the kiyum, or, you know, the actual application of Bayra Bayimatze, but to the broader idea that chametz bePesach. Chometz Pesach is a Dabra Chamor. It obviously, you know, reflects some, you know, bigger idea. And that bigger idea not only pulls often Bayirah, it also is responsible for the search and destroy mission that is Bedikas Chometz. Now, once you say that, so then it becomes possible to suggest another answer to why the Masechta begins with Bedikas Chometz. Let's say Masechtas don't always begin with chronology, or put it this way, if there's a competition between, like, you know, starting a Masechta by setting a tone, or starting a Masechta by, you know, sequence, you know, maybe the conceptual people certainly would always want to, you know, set the tone. So are you abdicating that perspective when you begin with Bedikas Chametz? The answer is, according to the second day of Tosas, it's very easy to say that you have both worlds. You have sequence, but maybe even more importantly, you also have a reflection of the uniqueness, the singular quality of Chametz of Pesach, because the Drabbanan of Bedikas Chametz highlights, right, that Chametz is a different kind of Iser completely. Now this idea that Chetzah Shel Chametz is different, in my opinion, you know, has a dialectical relationship with the question whether Chametz is an Iser Zman or an Iser Olam, an issue which I'm not going to talk about right now, but I think... again, the first point in Tosis was that, oh, this is, you know, but he means it more pragmatically, Kol Hashana, this is mutter, so just people are not going to be bodel mimenu, right? Unless you overcompensate. And the second day of Tosis is saying what? That it isn't really, they may look like an Iser Zman, but it isn't. Or, what I prefer to think of, but this is not for now, is that, you know, no, it's both an Iser Zman, and Dafka, because it's an Iser Zman, because it's Mutter Kol Hashana, the fact that it's Asar on Pesach isn't the Kula, but it really crystallizes in a very intense way that Chametz bePesach, that this combination is just an anathema. Right? Now, the other din was that there's no such thing as Chalos Chametz, you know, other than bePesach, by which I mean, not that the, you know, leavened bread doesn't, you know, physically exist all year round. We know that it does. What I mean is that halachically, outside of the world of the Beis HaMikdash, one could have made the case where Menachos, with the exception of Korban Todah and Shnei Alechem, you know, there's a prohibition of Chametz. So in the world of the Mikdash, there's always something called Chalos Chametz that you have to relate to. But outside of that world, Kol Hashana, there's no such thing as Chametz and Matzah, right? The categories don't exist. All of a sudden, at the time of Achilek, which is Chatzos, you know, on the day of Yudalid, right, all of a sudden, Chefza Shel Chametz and Chefza Shel Matzah, right, exist as categories outside the Mikdash. So you might have said, well, it isn't really true that Chametz is just an Iser Zman, meaning it's Mutar all year round and it's Asar on Pesach. It's just that only on, in the context of Pesach, right, is there really a Shem Chametz as opposed to Matzah. Anytime there's a Shem Chametz, it's Asar Legamri. So I think you can make that point. But what I'm suggesting is, if you do want to make that point, or even if you don't, even if you want to acknowledge that Chametz is Asur only on Pesach, and the same Chametz is Mutter Kol Hashana, I don't think that necessarily has to reflect a Kula of Chametz. it may reflect also a chumrah of chametz, namely, why all of a sudden in this timing is this dvar heter, the staple of our diet, all of a sudden asur? The answer is because the symbol of chametz on Pesach is so powerful, so antithetical to what this holiday is all about, that actually, well, on a certain objective level, you know, it's morkal, right? On another level, it's really, because it's morkal, and yet it's a chiyuv misa, and so on and so forth, it's really morkal. That's kind of the position that I'm taking at the moment. And, in light of that, so then looking at a lot of the unique features of Chametz v'Pesach, some of which we're going to discuss very briefly, but each of which is a topic in its own right, you know, the perspective will be not overcompensation, but, you know, kind of siyag d'oraisa, which is the overcompensation idea, or in the case of B'dikas Chametz, siyag d'rabanan, but the idea that the singular character of Chametz of Pesach, right, is responsible for these additional features. Again, to highlight it just a little more strongly is an interesting tshuva of the Radvaz that I always like to quote, where the Radvaz goes considerably farther than Tosas, but, you know, addressing the same kind of issues. This is a chelak gimel simin tav kuf mem vav. She'alti mimeni or odiacha daiti, and this is, of course, where people start singing, you know, they can't help themselves. Ma nishtana chametz v'pesach mikol isurin she'betorah. Right? She'chmir alav ha-torah. No. Hatzricha b'dika v'sorov v'kola v'gam bitol. Well, Sifur Chachamim la'tzricho b'dika b'chorin b'stokin v'lechape sachra v'leshare shoso mikol gebulav, right? V'avra b'ayra b'ayimatze v'asru b'kol shehu v'enu mizbatol klal, right? Sounds like Dayenu at this point, right? V'chomros ke'ela lo nimtzu b'chol yisur b'shev b'torah, right? V'imishum d'yisbei kares arechela b'dam imishum d'yosu b'hana arechela yakeram mishol aniskal v'kami yisur enosholek mir torah b'am kol kach imishum d'lo b'dili minei kula shaita harayayim l'nazir d'lo b'adol minei v'chadosh d'lo b'dili minei t'vua kula shaita v'lo chamira kula hai. Then he gives two answers which are not as exciting, although at the end of the day he comes up with the famous formulation, right, b'komokam haray torah sh'lok mir torah b'akum k'mo b'chametz hukach adayin tzorech tam alkein ani somei. He talks about being a combination of the above, but it says in the end it's still unique. Okay, now the soma chamash amar azal b'midrashos ki chametz pesach remez liyetzer hara sor shebi'isa. Right, it's not only the later people who came up with this idea. Right, this is already the Radvaz speaking in the 16th century. Who sor shebi'isa lekein kala gareish yigareish oso ha'adam me'alav yichapes alav b'kol machbo'ot u'machshevotav afilu kol shehu lo batil areza emes v'nachon v'ania l'anias daiti kasadli. So again, whether you're happy with the Sor Shebi'isa per se, or you want to say something a little different, which we'll discuss, the whole formulation of the question in the Radvaz is, you know, in this, you know, kibun, this direction, which is that if you just look around at the treatment of Chametz as Macholos Asuras and Suriana, you encounter all sorts of incredible, you know, chumras and things that we just don't find elsewhere. And many of these are Doraisa, Rabbi Matzei, Taroves Chametz, which we're not going to speak about today, but I think is part of this story. Many of these dinim, and many of these dinim are drabanan, but apparently the dinim drabanan also reflect something, whether it's mashahu, particularly bedika, etc. That's basically what the Radvaz is saying. Why is this worse, even in some respects, than the way that we treat Avodah Zarah? I'm just adding to the mix, you know, and why does the Masechta begin with this? Is it only because of sequence, you know, and so on? Okay, so let's just add a little bit to the stakes, because I want to speak about B'dikas Chametz, but obviously I'm suggesting that this perspective on B'dikas Chametz reflects Cheftza Shel Chametz more generally, that they made this Din D'Rabbanan as a way of projecting and also reflecting this unique Cheftza Shel Isa. So just to mention a few things that we know that we do, you know, that are problematic. There are many answers given to explain some of these things. I'm not suggesting that what I'm about to say or what I'm trying to, you know, project here is the only way, but let's understand them in context. So, for example, when we do b'dikas chametz, right, we make a bracha, right, of beer chametz, and of course this triggered a lot of discussion, right? It's a topic, and each one of these is a topic in its own right. Why do you make the bracha of tashbisu and biur at the time of the Durabanan b'dika? There's also there are several parts of this question. The language of biur, right? Is it, some Rishonim say, oh, it's not biur, destroy. This is the language of biur, biarti hakodesh min habayis, meaning I made my home, chametz rein, basically, meaning absent any presence of chametz. In the same way that when it comes to, vidi maestros, I'm basically declaring that the maestros that, were supposed to be taken, are no longer here. I've addressed that issue. So the words biur, chametz, really can refer to the bedika as much as to the biur. That's what some Rishonim say. Other Rishonim say, well, bedika is tchilas habiur. Even the Rishonim would think that this is biarti hakodesh min habayis, right? So the question is, they're trying to accommodate, both meanings of the lashon, but they probably don't deny that this is in some respect tchilas habiur. Again, you have to look at the formulations of specific Rishonim, and we're not going to go there right now. But the fact that we make the bracha during the bedika at the beginning, and not when we actually do the physical tashbisu on the next day, is surely extremely significant. It raises technical halachic questions and issues, as we're noting, and there's also just a policy, like, why are we doing this to create all these questions? Obviously, one perspective could be that the drabanan of b'dikas chametz already uniquely captures why it is that you have to do bir chametz, right? And therefore, it's appropriate actually to make the bracha earlier. That's the best time to do it, to highlight what it's all about. In terms of bir chametz itself, right? So, and this is certainly very connected also to the question of, lifnei zman biuro, achar zman biuro, kolam chozer acham levaro, which is, again, big topics, both on the first and second parak of Pesachim, which we're not going to talk about right now. But the very fact that, everybody knows that there's a debate between Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim, whether Hashkasas of Chol Davar, or the chi of bir chametz is Sreifa, Ein bir chametz ela b'sreifa. The idea of Sreifa is very also intriguing. It's one thing to say you can't have chametz in your home and you have to get rid of it or make sure it isn't there. The idea that, you burn it obviously implies a certain kind of, again, confront, search, confront, destroy, something symbolic about having the chametz right there and destroying it. Reb Chaim's idea, well, we'll say before that, the Minchas Chinuch's idea, that whether or not you hold Ein Bir Chametz Ela B'Sreifa or Hashmasasa B'Chol Davar impacts qualitatively, right, on whether you see this as more of a Sheval Taisa, creating a result or a Kumbase, right, is part of the story. Reb Chaim's additional idea in the piece in Hilchos Chametz Matzah, one of the most famous Reb Chaim's ever, which is that with regard to the question of Anasas Mitzvaso, as well as Lav Anita Kalase, again, details are either known or you can look them up. There's a qualitative difference between Rabbi Yehuda's perspective on Bir Chametz and the Chachamim's. For the Chachamim, there's no Kiyum in the Chefza. There's a mitzvah and a Maisa mitzvah, a mitzvah sagabra to get rid of Chametz. But for Rabbi Yehuda, who says, Ein Bir Chametz Ela B'Sreifa, you are also fulfilled. There's a Kiyum a mitzvah b'Chefza. The Chefza shel Chametz becomes Nasis Mitzvah, so is transformed, right, and redeemed by the act of Bir Chametz. That's why Nasis Mitzvah, so depends on that. And Huadin, that impacts whether or not this is considered a Lava Nita Klase or not. So I'm explain why the Rambam, which we'll discuss in a minute, explains that there's no Malkus for Ma'ira Ba'imatze, because it's a Lav Sheim Ba'maisa. We'll talk about that in a minute. And doesn't quote the Gemara later on in the Masechta, which seems to say it's based on Lav Anita Klase. So Reb Chaim says, because Reb Rambam paskins like the Chachamim and not like Rabbi Yehuda. Qualitatively, that just means his perspective on Bir Chametz and what happens there is different, and these are the two things, at least, that it affects. Again, Minchas Chinuch, who said something parallel, but not about Cheftz Shal Chametz, Kiyum the Cheftz, etc., but about Kumbaseh and Sheval Taisa, you know, pours on the nafkaminas, you know, as well. You have to buy chametz in order to get rid of it. You heard about lifnei zman isuro, lachar zman isuro. Reb Chaim would agree with many of these nafkaminas and probably would disagree with some others. There is a lot of overlap and parallel between the two treatments, but they're not identical in either direction. And that's all we're going to say about that also for now. That's also a big topic. Anyways, even if we paskin like the Chachamim, Hashbasasa, B'chol Davar, there is some evidence that, you know, first many was shown in mid to Rabbi Yehuda Nishmal or Rabbanan, number one. And even if you don't go that far, that there's a lechatchila of Sreifa, according to some understandings of the Chachamim. So that, even if you, Bali Tosis happened to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, the Rambam happens to paskin like Hashbasasa, B'chol Davar, but even if you paskin like the Rambam, what you see from Sreifa in Chametz is that we're talking about, again, some sort of confrontation and counter, you know, and destruction. And that surely says a lot about the nature of what Chametz is. The fact that there is Bal Yirah and Bal Yimatzeh, both, that, and according to the Rambam, these are two separate mitzvos, even though according to the Rambam, right, you can accomplish, you can never accomplish one without triggering the other. It's a very rare phenomenon in halacha, right, that you don't have a nafkamina, Rambam says, and yet you count it as two separate laban. Rambam was criticized for this, but if you look carefully, both in Yad HaChazaka and especially in Sefer HaMitzvos, this seems to be his view. The way I always like to explain it is that really these are two different mechaibim within, you know, relating to the chametz. There's a Bal Yirah aspect and a Bal Yimatzeh aspect. It's true that whenever you do one, you do the other, but that's because one, by virtue of its achshavei-type stature, triggers the other. Again, I'm not going to explain what that means now, because that's, that'll get us too far afield. But what I want from it, I'm just trying to relate to a lot of things without, you know, dealing with them as a topic. What I want from it is the idea that not only is there a view of Sreifa in Tashbisu, but the double Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh, right, highlights that even, you know, Bal Yirah itself, right, is a process, and you have to reject chametz, you know, on different ways in terms of your personal relationship with it, your objective connection to it, if you want to take those as being the two perspectives of Bal Yirah and Bal Yimatzeh. And again, that's very rare, and it bespeaks of a certain relationship that is problematic in chametz, which doesn't exist in any other chafzeh shaliser, pretty much, even avodah zarah in some respects, on kol haTorah kula. Maybe it's the subtlety of chametz and the fact that it is, you know, mutar kol hashana, that is partially responsible for this komer. But I don't mean in a siag sense and in a chuchot lula sense, but I mean in terms of the, you know, the dangers of what chametz is supposed to represent. But either way, this is part of the issue and the phenomenon. This question also is reflected in the very basic topic and issue, which we touched on in Masechet Shabbos earlier in the year, and that is the question of Misasek. Generally speaking, right, our view is that if you don't do anything on Chametz, about the Chametz, if you don't do Bittul, then you're going to violate chametz, even if you don't know that you have chametz in your rishus. Right, let's say you think that, you know, you're like very organized person, very systematic, and you know, you have a good, you know, sense of your, you know, chametz inventory, right? So you just know you did spring cleaning, I don't know, whatever, or you know, you're just maybe, you know, an istinus, and you clean all the time. You basically, you know, there's no chametz there. Okay, so you don't do anything. Why should you waste the time and do the bittul, right? But you're wrong, and there's chametz there. So the rule is, if you didn't do bittul and you didn't do bedika, we'll talk about bedika in a minute, on a deraisa level, so you violate Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh. That's a davar pashut. Yeah. So the question is why? Right, you really thought that everything was good, and assuming that al pidin, al pi halacha, you know, what you did do doesn't make this makom shein machnis nevos hachametz, obviously. So what about the din? The misasek is patur, right? If it's not kalam varayos shekeinene, so Why should Bisasek here be b'chayiv? You think that there's nothing there. So in a way, this is part of the discussion of the famous tshuva of Rabbi Kveger. Rabbi Kveger in the tshuva basically has this suffix about misasek, whether misasek is considered to be maisaver. We talked about it in Shabbos context, right? And Rabbi Kveger says, l'may nafkamina, whether misasek is or isn't a maisavera. It's a maisavera of the patur chatas, it's a lower level shogeg, or it's not a shogeg at all, it's just legamri, not a maisavera. So nafkamina number one, la frushe misura, if you see a guy about to do an avera of a misasek, are you obligated to, warn him, right? He doesn't speak about tshuva, but tshuva obviously is an issue too, because we do tshuva, of course, for shkagos, but even for onus, in the al-chait, when we, klop al-chait, we do for, averus bonus. You don't find anything about averus b'mitzaseg, right? I'm not sure that proves anything in terms of the its absence of the nusach, but do you need to do tshuva? Did you do a ma'is avera, right? So that's another nafkamina, which he doesn't speak about. But one of the things that he does speak about is Chametz Pesach. One of Rabbi Kveger's rayas that misasek must be a ma'is avera is the fact that Chametz Pesach is violated, right, by misasek. So it can be if it wasn't a ma'is avera. Here we have the famous comment, I mentioned it when we discussed this, of the Makor Chaim, which is the Nesivas, who in his Hakdama, really, to Hilchos Chametz, says he disagrees with Rabbi Kveger, generally. As for this particular Raya, he says, you have to be Mechalek between the following. You have to be Mechalek between an Avera which you violate B'kum Ba'aseh, and an Avera that you violate B'shev Al Taisa. If you violate an Avera B'kum Ba'aseh, so then it's actually a very legitimate question to ask whether or not, Misasek is considered to be a Ma'is Avera. You need the standard of a B'kum Ba'aseh. You did this B'kum Ba'aseh B'Misasek, and the question is, does that qualify or not? However, says the Nesivas, if we're talking about an Avera which you violate B'shev Al Taisa, right? So even in that situation, everybody will agree that an Avera that you violate, B'shev Al Taisa, that you're going to violate, also B'misasek. Misasek, B'shev Al Taisa, Shema Avera. So Rabbi Kneger's Raya is no Raya. It could be that where you need a Kumba say, Misasek is not a Maisa Avera, but in Bayro Bayimatze, that's going to be a different story. So the assumption of Mekor Chayim is twofold. Right. Number one, that regarding this question whether Misasek is or isn't a Maisa Avera, we should be Mechalek between Averus B'kum Ba'aseh B'shev Al Taisa. That's number one. It makes a lot of sense. It's a little also, you could argue, say maybe the opposite, but you could definitely understand it. It's very an appealing Svara, even though there's room to argue. The second assumption, of course, is that you violate B'shev Al Taisa, right? And that also seems to be very logical, because the point is, you didn't, the Chametz is in your Rishus, and you left it there, you didn't get rid of it. Normally we would translate that, certainly physically, that is a Shev Al Taisa. Those are the two assumptions of the Makor Chayim. So the question is, what does Rabbi Kveger disagree with? Rabbi Kveger says, listen, if the Nesasek is not a Ma'is Avera, it's not a Ma'is Avera to Shev Al Taisa either. Very possible. Or is it possible to disagree with Makor Chayim? Because maybe we should reassess whether Bayra Bayimatze is truly a Shev Al Taisa. How can it not be a Shev Al Taisa? So the answer is as follows. Number one, in the Rambam itself, and somebody pointed this out to me, I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago, that the Rav said this as well. I wasn't aware of that previously. That in the Rambam, certainly, there seem to be indications that the Rambam thinks that Bayra Bayimatze is, at least conceptually, a kind of kumbase. Where does this come from? I'll tell you my two rayas, one of which, the most important one, apparently the Rambam said as well, which I'm very happy about. And that is in Perek Aleph of Chametz HaMatzah. This is a very intriguing lashon of the Rambam, there are actually three things to know. One is, the Rambam says, "Achametz pesach asav anah shenemer lo yeachel chametz lo yehebo hetrachim." Okay. Now this is the Rambam shita. This is the Gemara says that, you know, we don't pass on the Kabbiosi Aglili, we pass on like, you know, everybody else. But chametz is also bahana, right? So what's intriguing about this Rambam is that the Gemara says that there's a debate. Those who learned Kol Shah with me a couple of years ago remember this. So we started, right? Chizki and Rabbah Bo, whether or not in general you need a makar, a separate makar to generate the Isra of Ayurabayim, the Isra of Hana, or Isra Hana always flows from a language of Achila, right? Ad Sheifarit the Chakasuv, until you know that it doesn't. And conceptually, as well as pragmatically, that's an important debate, because partly Rabbi Vo basically says Yisuri Anah is part and parcel of Is Macholas Asuras, unless you separate them. And Chizkiyah says Macholas Asuras L'chud, Yisuri Anah L'chud, you always need another marker. Presumably that's the debate. Anyways, what's intriguing about the Rambam is the Rambam paskens like Rabbi Vo, Nufas Macholas Asuras, that generally whenever the Torah speaks about a language of Achila, it includes Yisuri Anah Ad Sheifarit L'cha. The Rambam says that in Perek Yedaled, Nufas Macholas Asuras explicitly. And yet, in Nufas Chametz, the Rambam likes the pasuk of Lo Yeachel Chametz. We talked earlier in the year about Chatzi Shir. I mentioned the Rambam Shita and Chametz, right? But the Rambam says Lo Yeachel Chametz and Saser B'Chatzi Shir. All the Nosa Kalim except for Magid Mishnah. Magid Mishnah says, oh yeah, Chatzi Shir Asur Menatar. All the other Nosa Kalim say, right? What does he need this pasuk for? It's against the Gemara Yuma. There's a general din. But the Rambam quotes Lo Yeachel Chametz. Here also the Rambam quotes Lo Yechel Chametz, even though he didn't need this pasuk because he paskens like Rabbah Bo, and the Torah says Lo Tochal, Lo Yochal. So it's strange. The Rambam uses Lo Yechel Chametz at least twice when he didn't need to, and you wonder what he's saying. That's point number one. What does that do with our bigger topic? Then the Rambam says V'hameini, and the same halacha V'hameini Chametz Brishus B'Pesach Brishus B'Pesach. And then he adds, so the Rambam, who usually, you know, is not in a particularly, you know, difficult, you know, space, you know, cramped space crisis, normally you would expect that these would be three different halachas. The Rambam integrates, the question of the numbers isn't the point, but the Rambam integrates Isra Hanav Chametz Beis and Lo Yachal together with the Isra Bayura Bayimatze, together with the idea that Chametz and Sa'ar are one shape, something which the Rambam disagrees about. Moreover, the Rambam uses the expression here, V'hameiniach Chametz Bershuso. Now, normally you wouldn't use that expression, chametz, not meniach chametz b'rshuso, if chametz is b'rshuso, because let's say he doesn't know that chametz is b'rshuso, like we said before. He didn't do bittel, he didn't do bedika, but he's pretty sure that, you know, his chametz, his zone is a chametz-free zone. He still violates. Now, would you use the expression meniach? You say, you know, misha yeshlo chametz b'rshuso, or misha nimtza she yeshlo chametz b'rshuso. So number one, he has these three, he has his formulation, and then the additional point is halacha gimel, ein alokum mishum la yirav la yimatze elim ken kona chametz pesach o chimso kadei shiasa maisa abadim hayla chametz kona pesach kaba pesach velo biro ela hi nicho birshuso, get that language of meniach ava bishav al shnei lavin ein alokum na Torah shalasa ba maisa v'makan asa makas marcus. So the Rambam here says that you don't normally get malchus for ba yirav la yimatze, right, but not because of labanita klase, which is the Gemara's explanation. That's where Chaim comes in, but because of the rule of lav she'ei b'maisa. Unless, says the Rambam, you either create the chametz on Pesach, or you buy the chametz on Pesach. In which case, you'll get malchus. So here, the ha'ara that I wanted to make, and this is what somebody told me, the Rav also said, was that the Rambam of all Rishonim should not have been able to say this. And those who were here last year, we learned Bapetzia, right? So we spent some time on Losachmod. So we have a familiarity with the Rambam Shita on Losachmod, where the Rambam says that in order to violate Losachmod, right? You have to yikach es hakefetz asher chalmad. Beginning of the Kseilin, Ram says this, and then in the next line he says ve'eno lo kebazeh mishum shalav shein b'maisahu. Then the Ravid says ein l'chatema gadol mizeh, because he just said you need to be doing a maisa yikach hakefetz asher chalmad. How can you turn around, you know, toki de dibor and say that there's no maisa and there's no malchus? Oh. So what we explain then is the idea that the Rambam meant to say was, and this is consistent with the Rambam elsewhere, that the issue in Lav Shein B'maisa is not whether physically you do an action or not, but whether Al Pidin, right, that's considered to be an Iser Maisa or an Iser Machshava, or something like that. In other words, what the Rambam means is that it's true, you need to Achika Chachevet HaShachamad, but it isn't that action, it's what that reflects about your improper, you know, religious persona that's really the mechayev. Ah. So if that's the case, now let's look, come back to Chametz for a minute. And there are a few other Rambams like this as well. And apparently this is what the Rambam also mentioned. And that is that given that, the Rambam probably should have thought that even if you buy Chametz or make Chametz on Pesach, that you're never going to get Malkus. Because it's fundamentally Lav Shein B'maisa, because it's B'shev Al Taisa. It's a fact that you didn't get... It's a fact that chametz is presence in your rishus, not that you made the chametz in your rishus. Right? So either way, you shouldn't get malchus. It should be worse than achiika chasmehevet sashar chamad. But here's where the other point comes in, and that is the language of meniach that he uses twice, and the fact that he associates the other two dinim with the same halacha. It's almost, if you ask me, as if the Rambam, you know, was addressing a little bit the Radvaz or Tosis and the Radvaz's issue, namely, how come even about a Zara doesn't have, you know, some of these things, and certainly other Isurim, like that the presence of the object is a problem? You're not allowed to eat it, you're not allowed to derive pleasure from it. No. Deriving pleasure is based on Lo Yeachel. And Chametz is really just a form of the Uber Chametz, namely Saor, right? The chametz v'asor echadu. And because of all that, what we're really trying to say is that the presence of chametz in your rishus on Pesach isn't just a sheval taisa. When you don't get rid of chametz, you're basically making a statement that you're keeping your chametz. And even though physically that's sheval taisa, al pidin, that's called meniach chametz b'shusa. Because you're obligated, right, to search and to destroy and to disassociate completely, that's what ignoring that is the equivalent of a kumbase. Now this phenomenon we find in the halacha here and there. I always like to illustrate it again with another famous Rambam, which I'll just mention again quickly. Poshea kumbase, right? The Rambam says that a poshea, a shomer chinam, who accepts an object, and of course you can be mechalik, I'm just using it as a mashal. A shomer chinam who accepts an object is, you know, is chayiv, you know, for pshia. Because posheya is kemazik. That's the Rambam's formulation. And all the Nosa Kalim are very upset about Ravid and the other Rishonim and then the Nosa Kalim. They're upset on several grounds, right? But one of the things that really bothers them is a posheya is a sheval taisa. At most, it's a grama. You don't do good shmira, somebody else ends up, or the object ends up being destroyed. You know, it's a kind of a grama. That's not mazik. But the idea seems to be that what the Rambam is saying, and this I think is a important hashkafa, and that's what I want to use it for here as well, that in a vacuum, when you just, you know, come to the issue, you know, without the framework of the context, so this guy has a, you know, has an object in his rishus, and he was posheya, and it gets destroyed. That you wouldn't call that mazik. You could say you're chayiv mishum pshia, which is everybody agrees. Shomachinim is chayiv mishum pshia. The Rambam wants to make it into mazik because he wants to extend the boundaries of it. He went, oh, it's I see the karka, even avadim, even shtaros. That's what he's trying to explain there. Can't do that. It's against the rules of mazik. It's against the rules of maisa and grama. But once a person accepts responsibility for an object, then the hagdara of grama or of Kumbase and Sheval Taisa are changed as well. Then the fact that he didn't care for it and allowed it to be subject to the ravages or the coincidences or of nature or somebody else is almost the equivalent of a Kumbase. Same thing is true about Nizkei Shcheinim, right? We talk about Hezekriah, Nizkei Shcheinim. But as the Mepharshim all are bothered, I mean, but these are just too Sheval Taisa, too Grama-esque. But if you're a neighbor, right, then the things that you allow to happen, B'Sheval Taisa, in a way, are connected, are mitzuruf to you. It's almost like you're complicit. It's almost like you're an active, passive, you know, party to all of this. Physically, it may happen passively. You're not addressing your responsibility. It makes you mitzuraf, mechuyav, as well. So I'm suggesting is that what the Rambam's trying to tell you about lo yeyachel, in general, the Rambam thinks that chetzah shel chametz, its presence, relating to it in a certain way, is the iser. That's what lo yeyachel, that formulation, is about. So that's why he put it into Chatzi Shir, that's why he put it into Isur Hana, even though he paskens like a bravo, but what he's saying is, in Chametz of Pesach, it's an added element, or maybe it's the only element, because otherwise it's simply an Isur Zman. You should know that Chametz is Sa'or. Chametz is, you know, just as bad as Sa'or. So the point is that you're obligated to get rid of it, Tashbisu. When you don't Tashbisu the Chametz, it's like you're Meniach Chametz Bershusa. I think this is also the Yisod. And therefore, if you actually buy it or make it, right, it's allowed sheish b'maisa. The only reason you're not loka is because l'maisa b'foal, you didn't do anything. But in terms of the yisod or the mechayim and the iser, it really is meniach chametz reshusa. So this could also be an important principle in explaining a chumrah and B, a kula, right, as relates to chametz. Right. The chumrah is whether it's Rabbi Shmuel or Rabbi Eliezer, you know, as quoted in the Gemara Masechet, Shnei Dvarim Einam Bershusa Shel Adam, right? V'asah Akasu Ki'ilu Heim Bershusa. That's a tremendous chumrah. Basically, what the Gemara is saying is that the whole Bayi Rabbi Matzei should not have existed, because it's against the rule that Isurei Anah are either a neshalachem or whatever the real status of Isarna is. I'm not going to get into that; it's a complication too. But you know, that's a second parak and a first parak topic, but not for now. And it's a larger topic. But the point is that whatever it is, Rabbi Matzei, you know, which is based on ownership and a certain relationship, should just have been inconceivable, because chametz is also by now. We don't pass like a rosh hashanah. That's what we mean when we say Shnei Dvarim Einam Bershusa Shel Adam Ma'aseh Nakasuv as a Chiddush HaTorah Ke'ilu Heim Bershusa. Right? That's a tremendous chumrah. But what does it mean? Is it just, oh, the dinim of Yisurei Anah? For example, are you allowed to monetarily transact with this object in ways that you wouldn't with other Yisurei Anah because Asana Nakasuv Ke'ilu Bershusa? Or what we mean is you don't need Bailus, or it's only Le'inyan the Yisur. The parameters of this halacha are subject to major debate, and that's not our topic. Okay, but it is an important chumrah. It could be understood very narrowly. There's a kasuv. This is the Chiddush HaTorah. We mean nothing more than that. But you know, then the consequences have to be sorted out. Or is this the Torah's way of addressing on the chumrah side exactly this issue, namely, from a normal, formal perspective, there should be no Bayi Rabbi Matzei. But the whole idea of Chametz of Pesach being something which is antithetical, right, to the Cheirus and to the Zechira and the Sipor Yitzias Mitzrayim, is such that if you were previously connected with this Chametz and you didn't, you know, encounter it and destroy it, so then you're Meniach Chametz of Pesach, like the Rambam. Or to get back to Rabbi Kaveger and the Makar Chaim, right, maybe it isn't really. It is physically a Sheval Taisa, but maybe halachically it's not a Sheval Taisa. You're Meniach Chametz B'Pesach. In that sense, you're connected to the Chametz, Asana Kasuv Kila B'Shusa. Just like when you create a boar. I don't want to get too involved in the equation, but the Osa HaBor, right? Even if he isn't the owner of the bor, is connected to the yotzer hamazik, is also a status. So asana kosov kilo b'shuso isn't just a narrow gzeres akosov, which then needs to be sorted out. It's a yesod in the uniqueness of chametz. The other side of the coin, then I'll take the question, just give me one more second, is how you then neutralize Bal Rabbi Matzah. So we know you certainly can neutralize it with bitol, right? What is bitol? That's a big debate among the Rishonim. Bali Tosa say it's hefker, okay, fine. But according to the majority of Rishonim, Rashi, the Rambam, the Ramban, most Rishonim, ain't a rotza b'kiyumo. And there are nuances in this. So Mimanashah. There's something so chomer, it's Bal Yirah, and then all of a sudden you make a speech at it, you talk at it, to it, about it, you know, harehu ka'afar bi'alma, you say a magic formula, and poof, it's no longer, right? I mean, even if you don't hold, like, my favorite, you know, the Yesh Omrim in the Sefer HaMichtam, who says that once, you know, you do bitul chametz, you can eat it. Or maybe you can't, just because it proves you were insincere. But, okay. But we don't pasken that way either. But the point is that what is Enerotza B'Kiyuma? But the Rambam accepts it, Rashi accepts it. So the Ramban has a nice Ha'ara, and it's a very famous big piece in the beginning of the Mesachim, where he says, yeah, the only reason that you're Chayv Bal Yirah to begin with is because Asana Kosov Kilo B'Shuso, but Lo Asana Kosov Kilo B'Shuso, if it's Enerotza B'Kiyuma, meaning the Kula and the Chumra are connected. But I would like just to explain a little more how they're connected. The way that they're connected is as follows. The whole idea is the very yesod of Bal Yirah and Bal Yimatzeh, and both, right? And the very viability of Bal Yirah and Bal Yimatzeh, given that it's Yisuri Anah, and normally that wouldn't be considered Mitzuref to you, that's separate from the first point I just was talking about, the Yisur, right? Is all a reflection of this idea that on Pesach you have to reject Chametz. And if you don't reject it, and you're associated with it, or you allow an association with it, then it's connected to you. Bekumbase? Maybe, even Bekumbase. Right? Like, according to the Rambam, Bekumbase. Not saying everybody else is going to hold that one. That idea, right, is also what justifies, right, how to neutralize it. Right? Eini rotze b'kiyuma. When you turn your back on the chametz, normally, in Kol HaTorah Kula, when making a speech at a Bodhisattva or Chazir or Pigal or Nosar, you know, you make an eloquent speech, and then, you know, somehow, right, we're not talking about eating it, just, you know, let's say according to Sefer Michtam, right? Sefer Michtam would never have thought that you should even discuss that possibility, let's say in a Bodhisattva or Pigal or Nosar. But the whole point is that how you relate to Chametz of Pesach is exactly the yesod of the Chumra of Bal Yirah, all aspects of it. And therefore, it's also the yesod of the kula of Bal Yirah. Yeah. So you have a question? Okay. So this is very, very critical to understanding, you know, many, many issues about Chetz Shel Chametz and Bal Yirah, its kulas and its chumras. Oh. So if that's the case, so let's go back to the question of Bidikas Chametz. Starts in the Sechta, it, you know, seems to usurp the bracha of the Bior. But it's more than that. The whole yesod of Bdikas Chametz is problematic. Number one, what is it, a machlokas and betzios between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai about shtei shuros? Right? How much? In a Bdika Drabanan? So number one, let's say two things very quickly. Is it really Drabanan? A. And B, how do we understand the dine sfeikos of Bdikas Chametz and their implication? So again, before I get to that, let me just add one other issue in terms of the general phenomena. In addition to the question of the bracha, we talked about a little bit before, there's also the question of, you know, putting out the minug to put out you know, pieces of chametz, you know, before the bedika, and the debate already in the Rishonim, and then later in the Poskim, and in the Gra and others, you know, is that really a problem of bracha levatala if you don't find, or is it the search? Right, that's one big issue. Making sure that you have a bias baduk is enough. You don't need to find the pieces. Or do you need to really find them to burn them? That's one big issue. When you do bedikas chametz, another big issue, right? Or lar basayo. So there's a debate. The Raibit has a shita. Sounds like right at the beginning. And there's a debate among the achronim and the poskim. Does that even mean bein hashmashos, right? Or not? And we have all sorts of, I wouldn't say draconian, but stringent rules. You know, oh, Talmud Chacham, he shouldn't really start his night seder for bedikas chametz. So there is, again, just this is a topic in its own right, but in the Rishonim, and especially in the Poskim, we find two perspectives. One is, oh, just plug it in. It's his reason makdim in the mitzvos. It's, you know, he's going to get distracted. He's going to forget about the mitzvah. Maybe it's even overcompensation for the fact that it's more kal because it's only drabanan, or because chametz in general is only an isur zman, or the opposite. What we have here, the very fact that there's bedikas chametz and there's a bir chametz and there's a bal yirah, it's not merely zrizin magdimin. It's this idea somehow that bedikas chametz, you know, is, while technically mostly drabanan, really puts its finger on something in the core, in chetzah shel chametz being a reprehensible presence or a presence which contravenes, and as such, you know, even the timing of it, even, you know, the rules about hefsek and so on and tirda are different. They're rewritten, you know, in this particular context. Again, the fact that Shloshim Yom focuses on this also works, you know, in this direction. So if this is the case, I want to get back to two points. One is the possibility that bedikas chametz could occasionally be daraisa, which is the view of the Ramban on the Ran. And the other is the question of safek. So basically, again, the famous first Ran in the Masechta, but part of it is based on the Ramban, but then the Ran goes off on his own. Right? The Ran wants to justify a little bit Rashi's comment that bedikas chametz is connected to bayirah bayimatzeh. And the truth is, we already talked about Tosis's perspective. Let's talk about Rashi for a moment, or the Rashi is understood by the Ran, at least. And that is, well, maybe what bothered him a little bit is what the Masechta begins with, a bedikas chametz, it's only drabanan. So many daraisas in Masechet Pesachim, and we're beginning with bedikas chametz, and we're giving so much attention to bedikas chametz, and we're so concerned about bedikas chametz. At least, like, let's find a way or that, you know, that this relates to daraisa. That's number one. Number two, though, and bedikas chametz can affect the daraisa, how does that work exactly? So here, the Ran has his famous formulation. The Ran says, min haTorah, either bitul will work, the intellectual distancing from, that we talked about before, and he wrote to Bekiyumo, or the effort of bedikas chametz will work. Then the Ran goes on to say, because you shouldn't think that if you don't do bitul but you do bedikas chametz, and then turns out, you know, being, you know, not infallible, that you missed a corner or you missed something, and it turns out there was chametz in your rishos. So don't think that you could be over lamafreya. You're not over lamafreya at all. The only problem is mikanu lahava. You know, that maybe I'll hesitate to get rid of it now. That's why the Gemara says, "Am bodek tzar shivatel shema yimtza galuska yafe v'daite ole or ilave." But in terms of the mafreya, you certainly will not violate, because says the Ran, if you really were going to violate, then in achanami, then bedika wouldn't be sufficient, and it wouldn't fulfill the requirement of neutralizing Bayira, even if you didn't end up finding chametz. Okay. So that's a bit of a remarkable run on two levels, and this is the Achronim point out. Number one, what does it mean that if you looked and you searched and you didn't find, that you don't violate the mafreya? I mean, going milso the mafreya, that you had chametz in your rishos. Why is that any different than thinking that you don't have chametz in your rishos? Why the effort is so important here? If you want to say, oh, he's misasek, or he's onus, because he did, it's a ptur onus. But that's not what the Ran says. Ran doesn't say it's a Patur Anus or Masase. Right? He says, and by the way, here maybe we could say the words Masase, right? Even, you know, even beyond what the Makor Chaim is saying, or Kiveger, because oh, well, but he searched, and he's Masase, right? It's not because of a lack of engagement. But that's how that doesn't seem to be what the Ran says. Maybe some Akronim understood it that way. It doesn't seem to be what he said. It seems that what he's saying is that if you make the effort and you do the Bedika, right, then there's no violation of Mafreya. I mean, the objective presence of Chametz in your Rishus, that you were connected and owned, is not enough, per se, right, to be considered Matzun. The question is why? Say Pturana, say Misase. Secondly, what is this line in which he says, because if you were going to be violating the Mafreya, then it wouldn't have been enough to do Bedika, even if you don't find Chametz. Why? I mean, you didn't find the Chametz. Why shouldn't that be fulfillment of Tashbisu? Remember, according to the Ran, you fulfilled Tashbisu either through Bitol, right, or through Bedikas Chametz. He's saying you wouldn't fulfill it through Bedikas Chametz, right, if finding it, right, would be a violation l'mafreya, even if you were potter. Is why. I think the answer is again exactly along the lines of what we were saying before, and that is, it's not a question. Oh, you expend an effort. You spend an effort, so there's a pteranus. Right. The idea is number one. That's A. But I don't mean that only in the technical way that the Ramban says it, although I think the Ramban also doesn't mean it only technically. And the Ran also says it here, by the way, that way. Not only, oh, the Isser Ba'ira is barely hanging by a thread, so Rotsa B'Kiyumo is enough, and the effort is enough, and so on. What I mean to say is, one reflects on the other. In other words, the Chumers and the Kulas of Chametz are two sides of the same coin, right? On the one hand, there's not enough of a relationship legally and formally here, given the nature of Yisurei Anah, that you should be chayiv. So what is it? It's about Rotsa B'Kiyuma, or implicitly, by not going after it and making the statement that you disassociate, right? So B'Shev Al Taisad, even given it's Yisurei Anah, this is linked to you and associated with you in this particular case. And therefore, when you do the right thing, right, either by making the speech, the eloquent speech that you mean, though, you know, Eini Rotsa B'Kiyumo, Hareyu Ka'afar B'Einai, you know, Eini Mityaches L'Davar Ze'od, etc. Or, when you do, that's a bitul. Or when you do Bedikas Chametz, what are you doing in Bedikas Chametz? You're basically making the statement, I am trying to see, to search and destroy. So you're fallible, or you're maybe even a little bit sloppy, not intentionally sloppy. Okay, technically, you did you were compliant with the requirements of Bedika. Right? So the point is, not just technically lo asana kasav kilu b'shusa. Right? The idea is you basically made your declaration. If there's chametz b'shuska now, it is misasek only, or less. Basically, what you've done, begavra, is you've rejected chametz. You've made your home into a bias baduk. What Ran is saying is that if Ba'yirah Ba'imatzei was about objective presence of chametz, which is the reason that l'mafreya, it would be asur, right? Or you would have violated, maybe without an onesh, because it's all just objectively the question whether the chametz is nimtzar matzui bershuscha, then if that were the case, you'd always need bitul in addition to bedika. You couldn't say that bedika was a kiyum in tashbisu. You can only see bedika as a kiyum in tashbisu, right, if it's all about the way that the gavra relates to chametz. If it's about the objective presence of chametz, then of course that's insufficient. So if that's the case, so then we could also understand not only why Bedika is a kiyum in Tashbisu, but why there could be a debate about, or put it this way, why the rules of Safek need to be reassessed in the context of Bedika's Chametz. Now, this debate between Beitzilin Beit Shammai already in the first Mishnah highlights that. So let me just, this is also part of a much bigger topic. But let me just highlight it this way, and especially I want to quote the words of Rabbi David Bonfield, which really are, I think, the yesod of this whole perspective. So the Mishnah later on in Pesachim, Daf Tesam and Aleph, right, has the following discussion. Ein choshen shema gira chulda bibayis labayis mimakom lamakom dimkein mechatzel lechatzel meir leir ein davarsel. Meaning that let's say you have, you know, you did a bedika, and then this little furry creature, you know, comes in, and you know, are you supposed to worry that he deposited more chametz in your home? This is like, you know, in the continuation of the Gemara, where the Gemara says, you know, maybe it's the difference between your dalet and your gimel, and the Gemara asks its famous question, right? Vichicholda nevia, right? And all the people who, like me, don't know any, you know, Tanakh, saying, well, that's cute, but then the people who really know Tanakh, you know, laugh hysterically. But anyways, but the basic idea, this is the Gemara, the Mishnah already is already relating to the question, where do you draw the line when it comes to Safek, Bedikas, or Bir Chametz? Are you going to say Ein L'Davar Sof? It reminds us of the Mishnah at the beginning of Yuma, right? You talk about the Kohen Gadol needs a wife, he needs a backup wife. How many backup wives does he need, right? Ein L'Davar Sof. Okay, but fine. When you're talking about Ein L'Davar Sof, you're already talking about hedging your bets, you're already talking about where the normal dinam of Safek apparently are not sufficient. Just, that may be true, but Ein L'Davar Sof, you have to draw the line somewhere, right? You know, halachic, you know, scrutiny is very important, and halachic paranoia, you know, is still, you know, unacceptable. So you have to figure out what the lines are. Oh. So the Gemara here has all sorts of fascinating discussions. The Gemara talks about the din of Ein Safek Motza Midebada. I'm not going to go through, it's a whole complicated sugya. Ein Safek Motza Midebadai. The Gemara talks about the question of Tolin. The Gemara talks about the question of Kavua. Right, this is one of the most important questions. The Gemara says, let's say you have nine places where, you know, there's only matzah, and a tenth place where there's also chametz, and you know, you see this animal going into that area. You know, it came either from one of those 10 places. You don't know which one. Right, we have a rule called kavua, kemachza or matzah. If you find the object in question in the street and you can't figure out what it is, called a parish miruba, parish. And then the Gemara is another case. Let's say you have safek ol, or if you have, you know, he niach tes, he put up 9 pieces of matzah and he found 10, or he put down 10 and he found 9. All sorts of configurations in the Gemara. But it's challenging enough to read these Gemaras, you know, and to apply all these rules, you know, when you think that what you're dealing with is, or when you're convinced that what you're dealing with is the rules, the klali hakrav kol Torah kula, right? When do we say kavua kamachza machza parish called a parish ku miruba parish? What about svek sveka? What about safek all? What about tolin? Fine. But the big problem that all Rishonim dealt with, you know, the short part of the story in the sugya is, hey, aren't we talking about bedikas chametz drabanan? And if we're talking about bedikas chametz drabanan, what ain't safek motzi midevadai? Better yet, kol kavua kemachza al machza. What happened to Ein to Sveika Drabanan Lakula? Right? This is the big question that all the Rishonim asked, starting from Rashi, right, including Bali Tosis, the Balamor, the Ramban, the Rambam. Everybody asks, Ramban, David Bonfield, everybody's asking these questions in the Sugya. It's one thing to, you know, to deal with the complexities of Klali Hachra when, you know, when we know what we're dealing with, but why are we dealing with all this in Bedikas Chametz? Okay. So some Rishonim, the majority of Rishonim, solve this problem in a way that is legally satisfying, but, you know, a little bit literarily unsatisfying. They say, oh, all these Gemaras that talk about Bedikas, this Mishnah is about Bedika. So the first parak, it's about Bedika. All these are cases where there's no Bito. It's Bedika Bli Bito. for people like the Ran and so on, the Ramban, who say, oh, there can be a Bedika B'li Bito, which is actually Doraisa, the way they interpret Rashi and Dabbe Samin Aleph, by Rabbi Yimatse. Right? This is more confirmation to that Yisod. However, as I say, that solves the legal problem. But if we're ever talking about Bito and Bedikas Chametz Drabanan, we're going to apply the regular dinum of Sveika Drabanan Lekula. However, there are small group of Rishonim, but very prominent ones, who take a different perspective. The Rambam in Perek Beis Hilchos Chametz Halacha Yud seems clearly to be talking about Bedikas Chametz. The Ravid calls him out on it, but basically the Rambam says it. Right, in the case of and hiniach tesha tziburim shel matzav echad shel chametz va'achber v'notav le'yadanu im chametz matzav v'nichas l'bayis baduk tzorach livdok shekal kamul kamach tzal machtza. Right, it says Amar Avraham lo mechaber hamilsa elinim bitol elinim bedika sveikin rabbananu. But the irony, as Mefarshim Val noted, is that the Ravid himself in his Perush al Arif is the breakthrough formulation on this topic to justify exactly that shita. Ravid said, Balamar says like Balitosis, and then he goes through each case. Oh, this is about without bitol, that's without bitol, and the next one's without bitol, Sveikin Rabbanan Lekula. And then the Ravid in his Perush al Arif says, no, not at all. We're talking about Bedika, like Pashas of the Gemara. I would happen to Sveikin Rabbanan Lekula. So the Ravid came up with the following yisod. That's true generally when there's a chiyuv drabanan or an iser drabanan, but if you're talking about a drabanan which is nitkana ala safek, says the Ravid, since it's nitkana ala safek, the din of sveka drabanan lakula does not apply. Important yisod. Obviously that's a pshat in the Rambam too, right? The whole chiyuv here is to make sure there's no chametz in your home, therefore sveka drabanan lakula does apply. Critical idea. Now, you could have understood this critical idea, however, is a very narrow application and with a very narrow implication. By which I mean that, listen, Sveikin Rabbanan Lekula is a case of usually when you have a Safek Ashako, and there's every good reason to be Machmir. If it had been a Daraisa, we'd be Machmir, but it's a Rabbanan, it's Kai Gavra Tiknu, or it's an Iser Gavra, or it's just more Kal, whatever it is. So we say Sveikin Rabbanan Lekula. And here, since the whole point is, right, to eliminate Safek, so we're not going to say that Kula of Sveikin Rabbanan Lekula, we're going to treat the Sveikin Rabbanan like a Safek Doraisa, because it's one removed from the regular din of Safek. And that's how the Ravid, the din of Sveikin Rabbanan Lekula, that Kula doesn't apply to this particular Rabbanan, which was Nitkan as a more Chamor thing al Yedei Safek. But if, for example, you wanted to know whether to apply the same concept, right, or whether it had further implications, the answer is you wouldn't. So, for example, the Gemara does seem to say pretty clearly on Dalet of an Aleph, the Gemara says, Maskir bayis l'chamero, right, biyom yodalid, chas kasa baduk or in chas kasa baduk. Can you assume that he did a bedikas chametz or not? The Gemara says, what's the difference? L'may nafkamina. The Gemara says, l'shaylai. Ask the guy if he did a bedikas chametz. So the Gemara says, "Nafkamina deleisa lekaman the nishayla." And then the Gemara concludes, "Becheskas baduk." So we go by rove apparently when it comes to bedikas chametz. Fine. So rove works in bedikas chametz. If you look at the simple reading of the Gemara on between Tess and Daf Yud Aleph, Gemara has a number of cases of sek sveika and a safik motzim de vadai. Svek Sveka probably would be Lekula in these dinim, right? Both on a Bito level and on a Bedika level. Why not? And indeed, the Ravid says very explicitly that this din of Bedika Nitkan Ala Safek, and therefore there's no Sveka Drabana Lekula, is only applied to this. But Svek Sveka, for example, there would be a Ptur of Bedikas Chametz as well. That's the idea of the Ravid. Rav David Bonfil, we don't have so much of the Ramban on Pesachim, we have some pieces here and there, but not so much. David Bonfil sometimes is very critical, because he was a Talmud of the Ramban, in providing Ramban's perspective. So he quotes in the name of the Ramban took this a giant step further than the Ravid. basically made the argument that if we're talking about a svek sveko of suffek ol, like we're not sure if the guy was even in the vicinity, you know, we're not sure if he came into the house, and if he came in the house, maybe ate the crumbs. Okay. Suffek, that kind of svek sveko in Achanami, there's no latest on suffek. Okay, we'll speak next year, whenever we'll be here. I think we'll receive Zorin Ksuvis, we'll speak a lot about svek sveko. However, other svek svekas, where there's no suffek ol, says the Ramban, the same yesod of bedika nitkan ala safek, and therefore the rule of sveka drabana lakula doesn't apply. Huadin svek sveka lakula doesn't apply to bedikas chametz.
Wow.
Right, that's already a leap. The chi of drabanan of bedikas chametz is now being applied in a more chamor fashion, right, than the dinim daraisa of klali safek. That's Ramban Shita as quoted by Rabbi David Bonfield. Rabbi Bonfield says, but I don't understand. I mean, logically I understand what he's saying, but he tries to work with the Gemara. He says maybe it's a machogasin Rabbi and Rabbi Mari in the Gemara, but what, I mean, what impulse would there be to make a Dindra Rabbanan more chomer than the Daraisa? He doesn't answer that question, but then Rabbi David Bonfield himself says, you know what? I'm going to tell you the real pshat in the sugya. What is the real pshat in the sugya? I photocopied this. We got it. The real pshat in the sugya is to go even further than the Ramban. The idea of Rabbi David Bonfield is the idea that even if we're talking about Doraisa Bittel, we don't apply the regular Klali Hachra when it comes to chametz. Says even if we're talking about violating Bayra Bayimatze, Svek Sveka, except for Safek Ol, right, will be Lechomra. How could it be? So he says two things. Now he explains this idea, which I think is the Yesod, also for the Ramban, even if you don't go so as far. And it also justifies our whole presentation here today, because basically what Rabbi David Bonfield suggests is that Bedikas Chametz Durabbanan really sheds light on or illuminates the true nature of Iser Chametz Doraisa. Now, it isn't just an extension of it, but the extended or Chidushim of Bedikas Chametz, according to Rabbi David Bonfield, are really what highlight the true nature of the Doraisa. It's almost like, you know, Kol Drabanan came Doraisa Tikkun, and therefore examining Bedikas Chametz, to again justify the Tchilas HaMasechta and all the other things that we talked about, and then the putting of the Bracha earlier, etc. Bedikas Chametz is a window into understanding, right, the Torah's perspective on Chametz. B'nir lomar, shekachu dikto ka'inyon ze alamita. The chala mitzvah shebet Torah sheomrim shesafek echad hula hachmir ushtei sveikos lahakel. Now he's talking about a daraisa level. This is a giant leap. And I'll also add that even if you don't accept this chiddush of the David Bonfield, which obviously no one else did, right, but the idea behind it, in my opinion, is something which is true for other rishonim, and it reflects itself in some of the other chumras or the interplay between chumras and kulas about chametz that we spoke of earlier. Zeu mipnei shehamitzvah lavadai, shatorah shetzivsa lachela v'al adam v'al shari surim. This is, by the way, the Reb David Bonfield is on Tesamid Beis. It's a long piece. V'al shari surim lo tzivsa elavadai. When Torah said, you're not allowed to eat chela, you're not allowed to eat dam, you're not allowed to eat pigul, you're not allowed to eat chazir, what it meant is you're not allowed to eat vadai, pigul nosar, and so these macholos asuros, or isuri ana, if they're vadai, they're also, you're not allowed to eat them. However, this is just in general, it's very fascinating. Umipnei chomer divrei Torah, v'hadin b'sveik ala hachmir b'ayim. Then there's another din, another layer of, you know, meta-halachic life. The Torah basically said, chelav gomor, chelav vadai, no sir vadai is asur. Right, but once that's true, then the system declares, not dinei chelav and no sir, right, but dine you know, Chiyuv Mitzvot HaTorah kicks in and says, well, you have no right, you know, to take chances here, right? You have to, you know, protect against violating, you know, this vadai. That means an extra level of protection. You want to call it a siyag d'oraisa? You can call it what you want. It's just an interesting way of projecting it. There are two dinim. There's the specific, you know, iser, which is only bevadai, and then midin Torah. There's always an iser safek, betoras safek din Torah. Ukeshen shtei sveikos, right? For the hakel, we don't say that. Aval mitzvah zu shel chametz enochein. Shelo al vadei hachametz bilvad sifsa Torah shei mevaros kasher lefanav. Ela al habatim tziva lahashmis mein chametz. There's a chiyuv that your bias be baduk. Now I think I have two ways to say this. The Rav liked this idea about bias baduk a lot. I think that another way to say it, and it overlaps, is that there's a chiyuv, right, to remove yourself even from safek chametz. Okay. And that's why you need to have a bias baduk. In other words, is it safek chametz is asur min haTorah because you need a bias baduk, or is it that bias baduk is a requirement because even safek chametz is a chepsa shel iser in the Torah? Not midin protecting the real iser. That's not the second meta halachic step yet. That's the first one. She'af kishein chametz lefanav, hu mitzvah livdok b'chol makom shemachnisu b'chametz lashbiso misham o levatla. Listen to this. Dima d'oraisa v'bitul b'almasagi. Lomar. Listen to how he interprets that. Shehabitul shehu min haTorah, b'kol mokom shehabdika midivrayim. That's just a shocking, but a fascinating. Normally, we say kol d'tikun d'oraisa tikun. We mean in the other direction. I mean, they midrabanan. They made parallels to the d'oraisa. They're not going to make, if in a d'oraisa svek sveka is mutter, then the drabanan is going to be svek sveka mutter too. Right? Say sveka drabanan lakula doesn't apply, but you're not going to go further than the d'oraisa. The David Bonfield is saying the same thing, but in the opposite direction. If you really want to know what the d'oraisa is, right? For some technical reason, we have greater access to the parameters of this drabanan, but the drabanan here reflect what the d'oraisa is. If they're telling you svek sveka is asur midrabanan and bdikas chametz, that's because you're going to violate bayura bayimatze if you don't do bitul on this midoraisa. V'cheinu aloshon hazeh lemala b'perkin b'inyan cheskasa baduk me'at ahol v'amitzvah min haTorah hi al safek chametz livdak olav levatlo. Since here, unlike other isurei Torah, right, the actual cheftz shaliser isn't just chametz, it's even the possibility of chametz, safek chametz. So then, chazra safek hasheni, kishabalav kemo safek arishon l'shar mitzvah shelo yisla mitzvah al avadai. Then svek svek is going to be asur because it's really safek echad. Assuming that it isn't a lack of lateness, a safek, which is maybe why all might be different. The zeu shechmiru bebedikas chametz b'tisha tziburim afapishem shtei svekos v'takonis chachamim shelo lismach al abitul l'shiyivdek b'chal abay shen abaduk. Says we can go further than the Ramban. Now this idea that dafka chametz they made even the safek aser or the chiyuv bais baduk, right, is the koveya, right? So he's suggesting, and therefore, you know, it reformulates dine svekos, and that's very fascinating. I mentioned before about, I'm going to try to finish up in five more minutes, but I mentioned before about Rove. Kamar seems to say that Rove works. But there is a fascinating little issue. That the Gemara says there, Maske Baisa Chavero, right? You're not Chayiv Livdo, because Kasa Bada. But the Gemara did ask, Vilishaile, or just ask the guy. Right? Now the Gemara answers, Delesa Lekaman, Delishaile. So there's a big machlokas. We'll talk about this. Those will be next year in Ksuvis. There is a big machlokas regarding Rove and Sveka, particularly Rove. Rove between Eitzel Shchita Mumchenheim, right? So, right in the beginning of Masachet Chulin, there's a debate among the Rishonim, the Balamar and the Ramban, and this is also the Rajba and the Ra'ad and Tarsa Bayis. I said we have adjacents here from Kulin days, right? So there's a debate there whether or not when you have a rove, but Efshel Levarer, Tzarech Levarer, Ein Tzarech Levarer. Very fascinating question. Right, you rely on rove, but let's say you could find out 100% the truth. Maybe you shouldn't rely on the rove. That's the view of the majority of Rishonim, the Ramban, the Rajba, right? But the Balamor, the Ra'ah, no. Rove Mitzvah Neitzot Shechita, the Ra'ah says, it means Kol Mitzvah Neitzot Shechita Mumkane. It's not a machlokas of Mitzias, right? It's meaning, it's a rove issue. Okay. Anyways, the Ramban and others try to bring a raya from the Sugim Tzah. Because the Gemara said, Mishaylei, even though there's a rove of Cheskas Sabad, the Cheskas Sabad isn't really Chazaka here, it's a rove. So, but all Rishonim in this discussion, not all of them quote the Gemara Mitzachem, and it always bothered me why. So I think there could be two answers. Number one, you could say the Gemara didn't mean Azlina Basa Rove, but Vila Shailen. What the Gemara meant was, what difference does it make whether Azlina Basa Rove or not? Even if law is Lina Basa Rove, there's still access for the Shailei. Right? The Gemara never said L'Shailei after the Gemara said Cheskas Abaduk. I'm not sure if that's a strong answer, but that's a way to read the Gemara. The Gemara only said, well, who cares? Meaning, even Al Tzara Safek, that Lo is Lina Basa Rove, you could just ask the guy, so what's a Nafkamina? I don't think it's the easiest way to read the Gemara, but it's a way to read the Gemara. More to the point, I always thought that if you take the view of Bedikas Chametz Nitken Al HaSafek, and especially if you think that it's not only limited to Sfeika Drabanan Lekula in a Safek HaShakol, but it means that Bedikas Chametz reflects right, a chiyuv to make sure Bevadai that there's no Chametz, right? Certainly according to the Ramban that this would apply to certain types of Sfek Sfekas and so on. So then what you might say is, even if in other areas of halacha, Efshel Levarer, Ein Tzarech Levarer, the view of the Balamar and the Ra'ah, but when it comes to Chametz and Pesach, right, which is Nitken Al HaSafek, good, we'll rely, we're not going to go so far as not to rely on Rove, but at least in Efshel Levarer, Tzarech Levarer, and maybe even Daraisa. Okay, anyways, but even if you don't go as far as the Rav David Bonnefil, what's he really saying? What's this all about? Both under the Rabbanan and the Daraisa level. So I think it goes back to a topic that we've discussed other years before, and which really underlies, you know, everything that I've been talking about, that Bedikas Chametz reflects, and that, you know, Bayira and so on, and Sreifa, and all these other things reflect as well. That is, I always like to connect it to the words of the Ramban, also in Chulin. Ramban in Chulin explains that when the Torah speaks about Shmira, right, that you are, you perhaps will not apply the regular dinam of Kalal Yachra. There, the Ramban is talking about something very specific. The Rishonim asks a certain question there. Since we have a rule, Safek, Tuma, versus Harabim is Tahar. So why, in a particular case involving either Truma or Kadshim, why don't you say Safek, Tuma, versus Harabim is Tahar? So Ramban says, no. The Torah says Mishmeres Trumosai, or it speaks of a language of Shmira when it comes to Kachim. The din of Safek Tuma Bersharabim Tahar Lekula doesn't apply. Meaning, when the Torah speaks about Shmira, it's talking about an added requirement of certainty. The Shmira is Shelo Yavo Lidei Safek. Or, I'm not sure if this is the same thing or an overlapping but slightly different way to say it, when the Torah demands Shmira, it reflects something about the Cheftza, right? Whether it's positive or negative, depending whether we're talking about a mitzvah and Tahara or we're talking about an Iser. And that yisod of Shmira, right, changes the way that we look at this mitzvah, this Cheftza, this Iser. And in turn, that dictates a different perspective in Kalal Yachra. So we know that Torah also speaks about Shmira when it comes to Chametz. Ushmartem es hamatzos. And this is reflected particularly in the Ramban and others in the sugya of Lishma, which isn't about asiyas matzos on the Maisa level, but about Lishma in the Shmira samatzos. That's a topic we did it one year. I don't remember I think I asked the other day, it didn't seem like it came up in the last 3-4 years, but I seem to recall doing it in the last 5 years at least, or 6 years, but I don't know. There's a lot of evidence to think, to establish that the requirement of lishma in matzos is about lishma rishonim say in the shmira. The idea again is formulated dafka by the Ramban on Lamed Vav Amud Beis in a different context when he talks about the kiyum of matzah. Right, the Ramban says the whole sugya in Lamed Hay and Lamed Vav and Psachim, you know, mei peros ein machmitzin. So let's say you have mei peros, you know, used to make matzah. So is it just a problem of matzah shira, right? Or is it a problem, the Gemara says, kol she'ena be bal tochal chametz, when there's no chashash of chimutz, kol she'enu bo yovelu, and kol she'enu bo lidei chimutz, eino, ein yotzim bo mitzvahs matzah. So this is the big debate between the Rif and the Baal HaMor and the Ramban and that sugya. Right, if the when the Gemara talks about using mei peros for matzos in that sugya, are they talking about with mayim or without mayim? Because that's be bali dechimutz or not. So agav, the Ramban says, forget about only the problem of, you know, kol she'ena bali dechimutz ein yotzin bo yidei matzah. Right. In addition to that, inami says the Ramban, this is the mochamos in lamed vav days. Torah says ushmartem es hamatzos. Since it's ushmartem es hamatzos, it has to have the possibility of boing lidei chimutz, but you take extraordinary measures to protect it from it. That's a remarkable Ramban. Meaning you might have thought, ein lecha shmira gedola mizu, where there's no possibility of it boing lidei chimutz. Ramban thinks that shmira isn't just about locking it up in a, you know, in a protective vault. It's about encountering the challenge, confronting the danger, right? But not callously, but, you know, with a measure of, you know, conviction and effort such that you, you know, look the chametz square in the eye or the potential of it, right? And then you negate it in a way by making the matzah. We know that, you know, the Torah calls chagamatzos chagamatzos and makes it seem like you eat matzah all the days. And we also know that al pidin, b'erev tochel matzos, you fulfill the mitzvah with the kezayis harishona. There's a debate already in the Baal HaTosas and then the Gra and so on, where there's a kiyum mitzvah of eating matzah shmura al pesach. But even that doesn't fully justify the language of the Torah, matzos being a seven-day mitzvah. What does, as Rashi points out, as Perish Al Torah and in the Gemara, and really is Noveah from the Gemara in the end of Arbe Pesachim, is the idea that there is this constant choice going on between matzah and chametz. And the ushmartim as hamatzos is the way of, you know, making that choice, you know, by strength and by conviction. And reflected in the process that produces the matzah. So that the matzah really ends up being a 7-day thing, right, as a negation of the chametz. That's why women are obligated in matzah, right, though it's mitzvah shman grama, because they're included in the isur of baltocha chametz. And that whole relationship is something which we've spoken about, again, and it's a topic in itself. So the point is, when we step, one understander of David Bonfield's basically telling us, that chametz is a unique macholos asuros. Right? The Torah asered it even b'safek. And therefore the din Torah of its safek, lahachmir, is going to extend even to certain sneksekas. And the question is why? But the answer is because there's an added element, this is the worldview of the Ramban, David Bonfield was his Talmud, he doesn't quote it, but I'm suggesting it. You know, in matzah and chametz particularly, we see it in the Lishma and in the Matzah part, but we really see it in all the dinim of Bayir Abayim Matzei, and especially the Dindra Abanan of Bedika, which basically highlights the fact that we go to these extraordinary lengths, right, to confront and then to reject chametz, precisely because it's a staple of our diet all year round. There's nothing wrong with chametz, but in the context of Sipui Tzias Mitzrayim and physical cheros, the idea of unrestricted growth, the idea that you go for taste, and you go for, unrestricted, is anathema. Because in a sense, this was the golden moment for Klal Yisrael. Right? They were throwing off the shackles of Avdus, as we know. Hallelu, Avde Hashem, below Avde Paro. That's why Avodim Hayinu leParo and the Maror component of Sipritzias Mitzrayim and the Seder is so important. It's the negative part. But it's the negative part which also really, crystallizes that this is like a moment of choice and destiny for Klal Yisrael. So they were moving out of one sort of framework, and what was it that they were going to be embracing? At that moment, right, the food choice, the question of chametz and matzah, came to symbolize not just Sor Shabi'isa, also that, I'm sure. Ben Abichai has a whole piece in which he discusses Midas Hadin, as opposed to Midas Harachamim. Fine. There are many different explanations of what the symbol, of chametz really is. To me, just what it is physically is sufficient. It's the idea that Ein Ben Chorin Ela Misha Osek B'Torah. The idea that true chayrus requires that you channel freedom in a way which requires to impose limitations and to be very careful about what unfettered and unconstrained chayrus is going to be about. So dafka on these days of chayrus, dafka the symbol of matzah, which is accomplished not just coincidentally, but by confronting the concept of chametz, which is so powerful and which is going to go back to being the staple of our diets. It's even going to go back to being the choice korban, right, on Matan Torah, the korban shtei lechem, because in the context of Kabbalah sol mitzvos, right, the chametz is perfectly appropriate. But in the mikdash, with all that that implies, when there's a requirement of ushmartem, at this moment in history, chametz was an anathema. And that produced a lot of chumras and some kulas that result from the chumras, because the theme ended up being, right, to look chametz in the eye, to understand what it is and when it's appropriate, and also to reject it emphatically, particularly in the context of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that was captured no better than the wise drabanan of the Dikas Chametz, the beginning of the Masechta, which ends up being the proper place also to make the bracha of Al Biur Chametz. So I want to wish everybody a Chag Kashuv Sameach. Sorry, went a little longer than I wanted, but I wish you all a good Yontif. And after Yontif, we don't have so much time, but just I guess if it's possible over Yontif, just to be very familiar with all the all the Gemaras that we're going to be discussing, especially, till Tesla Medalev, because mostly we've discussed Zion through Tesla a lot, but, that could be a good project. But specifically, when we come back, we want to, discuss some more about the Dalad Rishuyos. We're going to at least add a shiur or two on each one, and then we'll see how far we can go. So, Chag Kashuv Sameach.